Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. Let's start with this one. We haven't heard much lately out of the Supreme Court, but a guest on the Mark Cox Show believes they're about to drop some bombshells.
Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. Shannon, back on the line with us this morning. Wow, a wide-ranging interview with the president of Fox and Friends this morning, huh?
Aside from Iran, Shannon, of course, the other thing we're keeping our eye on relates to the Supreme Court, because just over 30 minutes or so, they could be dropping some pretty big rulings. Would any idea which one? We don't know, I guess, which ones they would drop today.
Yeah, we don't, but we've got 20 in the low 20s. I mean, some of these cases are grouped together, so it's hard to give you an exact number the way that if the court gives them to us in pairs, a couple of them are coupled up. But we're waiting on birthright citizenship. We're waiting on these cases out of West Virginia and Idaho about whether, you know, athletes who were born male biologically can compete in female sports and their leagues and their teams. We've got when you have to stop counting election ballots after Election Day. I mean, there are all kinds of really big cases still bubbling out there, and a couple looking at the president's power, too, to dismiss Fed board governors or members of the FTC or other federal agencies. So a lot of big questions coming down to the home stretch.
Are you going to be over there live for it?
I will be live in studio.
Oh, okay. All right.
For you at 10 a.m. Eastern as they come in and let you know. But soon we'll start doing our daily, you know, treks over there in the 100-degree weather to stand outside and wait and see what we get. That's the fun part of June. We love it.
Yeah, and breaking it down. Now, I have to ask your thoughts on what's gone on with this election and ballot counting in California. Mm-hmm. I know that the case regarding in the court would not specifically address what they do in California, which is they allow ballot harvesting. We had a soundbite on this morning from a homeless woman, maybe you've seen that,
right,
who claims they paid her $2 to vote for Karen Bass.
Mm-hmm.
They've legalized cheating, in my opinion. That's my words, not yours. But what can be done about this?
Well, according to that woman, you know, she's telling the truth. She says, oh, yeah, they come out of here and do this with everyone out here. So that raises a lot of questions. Who's they and what exactly is going on? Paying for votes is obviously illegal if that story that she's telling is accurate. But there are other things that are legal under the law that people still have questions about. Why these drop boxes for ballots? If you're going to drop in a drop box, why not take them to the mail so they're postmarked and they go through the mail system? I mean, why? There are so many different things that started under COVID, and I don't know that you're going to be able to claw back or change back those policies. But you listen, even the Washington Post, not a conservative media outlet, had this blistering piece last week about California saying, listen, everything may be above board and on the up and up. But the problem is you leave a lot of room for people to have serious questions, and it looks incompetent. And it is, they said, a damning indictment on blue state governance. So that's not the right coming after California. That's kind of what you would consider one of their own.
Yeah, a little common sense. What do you got coming up this weekend?
So Senator Deb Fischer is one of our guests this weekend. You know, she sits on Senate Armed Services and a lot of other critical areas as we're trying to figure out what's going on with Iran. FISA, you know, is that going to expire tomorrow? There's a real possibility that that tool that both sides of the aisle tell us is absolutely critical for tracking terror threats and threats to the homeland possibly expires tomorrow night at midnight if they can't get a deal. So we've got the guys from the Ruthless podcast, too, to break down all the big midterm races, Graham Plattner, the fallout from that, and everything else on your political agenda.
Outstanding. We'll be listening, Shannon. Thank you.
When it comes to law and order, let's talk about the Democrats' maneuver to stop paying Department of Homeland Security workers. With Annie Fry.
This morning, I'm thrilled to sign the Secure America Act to immediately and fully fund the Department of Homeland Security through the end of my term. So we won't have that to be talking about anymore.
It's Lisa. Good.
Well, no, we will
good.
Not, sir.
We'll give the heroes of ICE and Border Patrol, and that's what they are, the heroes, what they have to go through to keep us safe, the support and resources they need to defend our borders, protect our homeland, and to keep America safe.
So President Trump speaking as he signs that bill, the funding of all of those departments that the Democrats were not willing to play ball on earlier, a $70 billion package. This and a lot more questions for our friend, Chairman Jason Smith, back with us representing Missouri's 8th District and also Chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. Chairman, thank you for being with us today. It's good to have you back on the show.
It's great to be with you, Annie, as always.
So it's a big day. $70 billion package goes to President Trump's desk, is signed. ICE is funded through the end of his presidency. Now, this was a big, big pressure point for the Democrats, and they were willing multiple times to shut the government down. We remember the TSA debacles that were taking place, people trying to fly from here to there across the country. The Democrats shut it down, and today the president signed what he asked for and maybe a little bit more. What did the Democrats get out of this shutdown?
They got suffering on Americans. I am so ashamed, Annie. I'm so ashamed of my Democrat colleagues that I serve up here. They shut down the border and customs and ICE for 115 days. And the reason why we were able to pass this bill is because we used reconciliation. It's one of the very, very difficult areas to get through and overcome the filibuster in the United States Senate. But they simply not enough Democrats would stop the filibuster in the United States Senate because they of their reckless behavior. They wanted to defund ICE. That is what their party has become, the party against law and order, the party of complete and open and porous borders. It's unacceptable. I mean, this election cycle, people really are looking at whether they want normal or do they want absolutely crazy, because every Democrat I serve with up here is absolutely beyond crazy.
Jason Smith, Congressman Jason Smith, speaking with us right now, Missouri's 8th District Representative. I'm grateful that we have gotten this signed and done and we can move on past this and that the business of Congress can turn to other issues that are very important to the American people. And I think that fraud is something that in an incredibly bipartisan way, there are a lot of Americans leaning into what various representatives, of course, the vice president, are looking to investigate and uncover regarding fraud. You specifically had a hearing to talk about the hospital system and some fraudulent behavior that might be existing there. Can you tell us what you've discovered?
You know, there's fraud in so many areas of government, and we've been looking at it in numerous fronts. One that we discovered, Annie, is in hospice fraud. And what was so disturbing, we actually had a young lady who came before us at the Ways and Means Committee and said that she was going in for physical therapy, but was denied physical therapy simply because she was on hospice. Someone illegally enrolled her on hospice for like over a year. And that's how she found out. This was in Los Angeles. And as we dug even farther, there was over 500 hospices that have now been shut down by President Trump. Thankfully, one of those hospice headquarters was a burrito stand in Los Angeles. One was a tire shop. Like, the waste, fraud, and abuse in the system is unreal, whether it's the daycare fraud in Minnesota, the durable medical equipment in Miami. Like, we've been investigating it, you know, but we did bring the hospitals in. And people can abuse tax dollars in multiple ways. And it was quite interesting. We brought in the CEOs of some of the largest hospital entities. One of them that was before our committee was New York Presbyterian. And we had their CEO that came in, and I asked them a simple question. I was like, why are you all designated as a rural hospital, classified as a rural hospital, but you're on 68th Street in Manhattan? I don't know any farms. I don't know any farms other than Central Park in New York City. But they were abusing the system, and I said, why are you doing this? Because we can. And so this is the kind of stuff we have to pay attention to, because they're taking away dollars for rural health care and using it in big cities that are well-funded to begin with.
Ugh. It's disgusting. I mean, the American people who are hearing that, the reason why this particularly frustrates me, and I'm sure you, as you've dug deep into this, is when are you more vulnerable than when you need a hospital bed? You'd do anything to get better. I'm reading from your statement here, Chairman Smith, to the hospital system CEOs. Just a quote from here. Hospitals with more than 100 beds have a higher profit margin than Delta Airlines, Target, or Disney. Turns out charging an arm and a leg for healthcare is more lucrative than the happiest place on earth. How do they get away with this?
You know, it's because a lot of people just turn their head and let it happen. Let me give you an example of something that came up during the hospital hearing. We had an example of a person in Florida who had to go in for an emergency CT scan, and they were billed over $13,000 at the hospital for that emergency CT scan. They had to do a follow-up CT scan after they left the hospital, and they went to a private facility for it. It cost them $79.
Oh, my gosh.
You look at $13,000 to $79. We had a family in California that their toddler got snake bit. The hospital billed them over $300,000.
For a snake bite.
Because they can. And people wonder why healthcare and health insurance is going out of whack. I mean, the whole system is broken. And we're going to have to continue to chip away at the issues, the waste, the fraud, the abuse that's going on in different areas. Because ultimately, it is every one of your listeners that is facing the brunt end of their healthcare costs going up.
Okay, so let me wrap my little pea brain around what we're talking about here. Specifically, let's go with this Florida person. Emergency CT scan, hospital billed them $13,000. The follow-up scan, they went to a location that cost $79. Is the scam here that the $13,000 that the hospital just can and does charge that patient? Does the insurance company pay that money to the hospital? Does the patient pay that money to the hospital? Does it get, maybe some financial assistance and it gets cut in half, which is still astronomical? Where does that $13,000 come from that causes them to continue to do this over and over again? Because I can imagine that not everybody out there who's getting that scan, that CT scan, is going to be able to come up with those $13,000.
They're not. It's so discretionary. In every case-by-case situation, they treat differently. It's not uniform for every person, whether it's someone who's covered by health insurance, someone who's covered by Medicare, someone who's private pay, or they just don't have insurance altogether. They're all treated differently, which is just madness. And that's what you're seeing. Let me tell you a personal example that I had. I went in, Annie, to a local pharmacy in a grocery store in Missouri, mm-hmm. Okay? Like a basic, and I had ran out of a generic drug that has been around on the market for decades. And I had it filled, and whenever they were ringing it up, they were like, "Do you have insurance?" And I'm like, "I do have insurance, but I can just pay the $20 or whatever it is. Well, they rung it up. It was $960.
Oh my gosh.
For a generic drug. And I was like, "Oh, hold on. Let me give you my health insurance."
Yeah.
And then it was $1.60.
Tara Servasius at WYRD Radio has some thoughts on the peace deal with Iran that's allegedly imminent.
Okay, folks. Look, I'm just going to lay it out where we are on Iran right now, which is pretty much nowhere, I guess. Trump says the war is over. Iran-linked hackers say they breached FBI drones, and Iran is now threatening the World Cup. Not sure how that's going to affect the deal. That just came down. I just got a text from a parent whose kids are going to the World Cup. Grown, it sounds like adult kids. They're just very nervous. They should be. With Iran threatening the World Cup. President Trump says the U.S. has ended the war with Iran. Tehran said overnight, no final decision has been reached. And the Ayatollah has turned the deal down, at least publicly. I'm just trying to do the news. So 39 times in the last 65 days, Trump has said the U.S. and Iran were close to a deal, only have the Iranians openly mock the team, Trump, us, the U.S., and deny it. Iran's drawn multiple red lines in the sand and has violated none of them. Trump has drawn multiple red lines in the sand and has violated many of them. Yesterday, Trump went on Fox and Friends in the morning, really got this world going. He was going to bomb. He's going to resume the bomb. He's going to be ferocious. By the afternoon, he declared the bombings would cease because the deal was close. He claimed that the deal had buy-in from the Egyptians, the Emirates, the Saudis, the Kuwaitis, the Israelis, the Iranians, and more. Egypt then said they had no idea what he was talking about. They had no knowledge of the deal. Israel said it had no knowledge of a deal. By the end of the day, Israel was cut out, which didn't matter since they were never cut in and never knew a thing about it, even though Trump said in a True Social post, they did. Then Fars, the semi-official Iranian news agency that represents the voice of the Revolutionary Guard in Iran, said there was no deal. There never was a deal. There's not going to be a deal. Then overnight word came that the Ayatollah refused the deal. Then, as if to seal the whole situation, the Iranians started firing drones at commercial vessels in the Strait of Hormuz. So the president has said in the last few days that Iran is playing us. Less than 24 hours later, he came out and said that Iran was playing his negotiating team for suckers. Less than 24 hours after that, he came out and said that they were close to a deal with all those countries that didn't really seem to know anything about it. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what we're doing. But that's what's going on. I'm just going to leave it there. I'll wrap with Mark Thiessen on Fox News, who shares my outrage that Iran and China, because it's really Chiran. Remember, China did the satellite targeting of our bases that resulted in the death of those seven troops. That was just months ago. That Trump made a vow about Chiran killing our troops. And Thiessen lost it on Fox News yesterday.
I'm not sure. They keep saying they're proportional. I don't know what proportional is for trying to kill an American. I mean, the president said that if they killed an American, that was his red line, that we would return to combat. Well, they tried to kill an American. As Trey Yinks reported, the drone landed in the middle of the Apache between the pilots, but didn't explode. So just because it malfunctioned doesn't give them a pass. We have to treat this as if they killed an American. Several Americans, because that's what they tried to do, and we have to respond in kind. And the goal should not be to get them back to the table. We've launched 13,500 strikes, and it hasn't brought them to the table in any serious way. That's a hopeless cause at this point. We have to decapitate and destroy this regime.
So, Juan, should the goal be to...
When it comes to open borders and other so-called wacky policies, Bob Rose at WSKY Radio says, the world has just had enough. Here's
some
more
of your top stories. The U.S. just hammering away at Iran. And our president, President Trump, this is what he said about it.
All they have to do is they have to start signing a paper. It's fully negotiated. We have a fully negotiated, but they're tapping and tapping.
Yeah, and the president, you know, he answered back. And he also said he spoke with some of the representatives from the Iranian regime and said, we're still very close. They specifically, he said, that they asked him to stop. To stop. We've been asking you to stop attempting to make a nuke for 47 years. Mm-hmm. So, excuse us if it takes us a few minutes to think about it. So that's where we're at on that for now. We have inflation concerns, job numbers, obviously the cost of gasoline and oil and stuff like that has impacted us from an inflationary standpoint. And so that is a concern. We'll get a little bit deeper into that coming up. But first, something fun. How about a show? Todd Rundgren is coming to town, and he's going to bang on the drum and play all of his other hits, I'm sure. This is at the Circle Square Cultural Center, Sunday, June 28th. 97.3 The Sky and the Bob Rose Show. We want to give you the ultimate VIP night out. We're talking premium up-close seats to see Todd Rundgren and a fabulous pre-show dinner at Whistling Duck Southern Tavern. So be listening starting Monday to the Bob Rose Show for the daily code word. And when you hear it, you text to win the VIP package. So be listening for that. Message and data rates apply. What's going on in Northern Ireland? My goodness. I mean, we thought things settled down there quite some time ago.
Yeah.
Well, this could be a little different. Violent scenes witnessed in Northern Ireland again on Wednesday as tensions remain high in the wake of an apparent attempted beheading on the streets of Belfast, allegedly at the hands of a Sudanese asylum seeker. Oh. Mm-hmm. At least it's not the old Protestant versus Catholic kind of stuff we saw for, I don't know, a couple centuries.
I'm telling you.
Hordes of black baklava masked men clashed with riot officers, the police service of Northern Ireland, on Wednesday in areas such as the Belfast suburb of Newton Abbey, where a lorry truck was set on fire by agitators. A lorry truck? I thought a lorry was a truck.
A lorry is a truck, yeah.
So let me say that again, all right? Mm-hmm. Yep. Where a truck was set on fire by agitators.
Makes as much sense, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The truck is believed to have been a municipal gully emptier used to clean street drainage systems. A car was also set on fire in the area. Wildfires were also lit down the street and a roundabout there. This is all the Belfast Telegraph reporting this. Nearby, police were forced to deploy a water cannon to push back a large crowd attempting to break into the Newton Abbey Hotel, likely over at least rumors of migrants being housed inside. Police came under fire from masked men throwing bricks and other makeshift missiles on multiple occasions. Meanwhile, in other residential property, this time in the York Park area of North Belfast, came under attack on Wednesday as reports of a hit list, quote-unquote, of homes and other targets being spread on social media. On Tuesday, there were reports that homes housing migrants had come under attack from rioters. So these are people that clearly it doesn't appear that they're very happy about their immigration system and situation.
Well, I think a lot of people have just had enough. You had the UN basically having their influence over European countries saying you've got to do this. You have to bring in this many people. We had the Biden administration opening our border. People are fed up.
Thank God we have Donald J. Trump as our president. Could you imagine if Kamala was and the open borders? Look, it's already a huge mess that we have to attempt to clean up in the wake of really terrible governing. There's no other way, I guess, to talk about that. But what a disservice to the American people. And that's why we said, hey, enough is enough. And that's one of the main reasons why President Trump was elected. And look, we're not the only country that is suffering this way. You know, look, I'd love to see the UN really basically disbanded. That they definitely are not our friends. They don't do things that are to the benefit of Americans, in most cases, in fact, to the detriment. So the State Department is dismantling birth tourism networks across Africa and Europe, officials announced this Wednesday. An estimated 33,000 United States-born children are rewarded birthright American citizenship annually solely because their foreign parents arrived in the U.S. on a temporary visa, often a tourist visa, before they were born. Decades later, those American-born children can sponsor their parents for green cards. You see how the system works?
It's a racket.
That's what my dad would call it.
See, he was right.
The birth tourism industry is widespread among Turkish nationals in New York City, Chinese nationals in California, Russian nationals in Florida, and Middle Easterners in Illinois. State Department officials said in a series of X posts that they have just recently brought down in West Africa a sophisticated birth tourism network of more than 100 foreign nationals using fraudulent documents and visa fixers to get themselves visas to get U.S. citizenship for their children. Meanwhile, North Africa, the agency revoked over 100 visas for birth tourist parents who came to the U.S. primarily to give birth so that their child could get U.S. citizenship. In Europe, a single U.S. embassy has uncovered more than 400 suspected cases of birth tourism since 2024, leading investigators to at least six companies that coach Europeans on how to beat, and secure a U.S. temporary visa without revealing what is truly their sole purpose for traveling here, to deliver children in America. This has been an ongoing problem for years. Yep. Never again had we haven't had a strong president like Donald Trump and this State Department that is willing to address these issues. Gosh, looking out for the American people first. What a great concept.
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a collection of conservative audio from Odyssey's talk stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in, listen wherever you get podcasts, and smash that subscribe button.